Scanning. Identity authorized. Welcome to the Secret Superhero Club Podcast Network.
Here you leave today and enter the world of Hilt Radio. We'll take you on an epic journey through the magic of all things Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars, from the movies to the box and everything in between. It's time to take you to Disney and beyond with your hosts, Brittany and Liam DeCosimo.
And Mommy too.
Welcome back to another episode of Hilt Radio. As here you leave today and enter a world of yesterday, tomorrow, and fantasy. As we take you on that adventure through the House of Mouse, the House of Ideas in a galaxy far, far away. I am your host, Liam.
I'm Brittany.
And oh my goodness, I'm so excited to get through this. I know we were originally going to be doing an episode on Monday, but that didn't happen because business trips and the Super Bowl and... Honestly, I was really excited to talk about like trailers and stuff. That's what I kind of assumed that Monday episode would be.
We lost time.
They were literally 30-second TV spots, and
we'll mention them.
Yeah, we'll get a little bit. It'll be part of
maybe
the
in our adventures.
Yeah,
we'll talk about them.
But for the most part, it's going to be the news. So give us the rundown. What's going on in Disney?
All right. So over in the Disney side of things, Keanu Reeves reveals his previously unknown role in Toy Story 4. The Magical Pride Parade will be the first official LGBTQ event in Disneyland Paris, and all the new deets for Disney Plus.
Nice. In Marvel, we'll have Captain Marvel herself will be the first MCU film to hit Disney Plus and will be exclusive. A Marvel female-led ABC drama put the pilot on hold. And then Fox producer Lauren Shuler Donner talks about the upcoming merger and how X-Men films need to evolve.
And the Star Wars galaxy, let's talk about how Disney will let publishers continue to control publishing rights for Star Wars games.
Nice. And Anthony Daniels with his cryptic tweets.
Yeah. And Star Wars Episode 9. We might know the title.
I know. And you'll be, if you haven't heard it yet, I guess spoiler alert, because you will hear it on this show. But don't worry, we're saving it for like the last bit of news in case you guys didn't want to know about it before then.
And it's probably the biggest rumor of this whole episode. So you're welcome.
Take it with a grain of salt, as always, when it comes to Star Wars.
You're welcome.
Nice. Good call. And then if you guys haven't already, we'll remind you throughout the episode. But right now we do have our battles for March Madness.
Yes.
So if you guys go on to our Instagram, just at Hilt Radio, H-Y-L-T Radio, you guys can actually go into the Instagram stories and you can vote for the current battles that are going on. For those that may not, I don't know if we really covered this before, but we took all 58 Disney movies, obviously 57 animated movies, and then Nightmare Before Christmas, because how can you not
include
that
one
in there? To make it 58 films altogether. So it's 29 battles that basically will have, and they were all, we numbered them 1 through 58, and they were all basically randomly paired up against each other. So this wasn't strategic. We weren't trying to break anybody's heart.
We broke our own hearts when we saw some of them. We're like, we can change them. And then we're like, that's not fair.
Yeah.
That's what makes it real. Because you have to decide which one you like. So, and not everybody thinks the same. Not everybody has the same favorite films.
No, not at all. And we really appreciate it. We've had a really good response from people.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of people out there voting and consistently stepping up each time and casting their vote. So I'm really excited to see how this turns out. We're going to start it off with Disney because that's the largest category to kind of draw from. And then we'll also do the same thing for Pixar, for Marvel, and for Star Wars.
Yes.
Obviously, Star Wars being a much smaller sample size than the other ones, but still we'll have a lot of
a good chunk of films though.
Well, to get to just eight.
Yes.
You know, when you're taking when you take like 58 films down to eight versus taking 22 films in Marvel and trying to bring it down
and
to eight.
Same for Pixar.
For Pixar, but
the
then
same.
With Star Wars, it's like here's 10 or 11 films and we have to take it down to eight. So
yeah. Well, we'll see which ones gets left off. I'm probably not. Well, I don't think any of us are going to be surprised which ones are going to get left off the Star Wars list.
No, probably not.
But it'll be exciting to do. We want to give that option to you guys. That's why we're doing it in our Instagram stories. So if you only follow us along on Twitter, you need to go to Instagram specifically because that is where we're voting. That is the only place we are voting for now. And then when it comes to March, when we have everything broken down into the special, 8? I don't know.
Well, yeah, it's 8 for each category, each of it. So it would be 32 total.
Right. So our official Disney, Star Wars, Pixar, Marvel bracket for March Madness, we're going to try to do like a little, I guess, PDF file for you. And then you guys could print it up make your own or just do it on your phone or something and then share them with everybody. So
yeah, share how you would kind of lay yours out, and we'll continue to do the voting.
Yes.
We'll do our own as well, how we would shake it out. But we'll do the voting so that way it'll kind of be fan cast to see who
what
is the overall
favorite
victor.
Is. So I think that's exciting when getting you guys involved and knowing what you guys think are the favorites out there. And not just a, hey, we pick these because these are our favorite movies.
Right,
so
right.
Come on, anybody can do that.
Well, that's what we did last year. So we wanted to
do we found one online and then we answered our own. But now we wanted to put it to for everyone to.
And I think our biggest complaint was that there were a lot of films we felt that were left off, or kind of, it felt arbitrary.
And now we're seeing if they did this, it kind of makes sense because
This is how
some we were just shocked as to them not making it through the first round.
Yeah.
I'm kind of sad about. We'll let you know when we get to that.
Yes. Perfect. So definitely, like we said, make sure that you guys are voting. Make sure that you guys are following us on Instagram, and that is at Hilt Radio, HYLT Radio. So without further ado, let's get into our adventures in fandom.
Prepare for adventures in fandom.
So we got to go to Disney on Ice.
Oh my gosh, and it was so fun.
It was kind of a last minute thing. We knew we wanted to go, but it's been a few years since we've been. We think we've taken Remy to one when he was tiny.
Yeah.
But we can't really place it. I know we used to go every year.
Yes.
Before him.
Because they always come to Fresno. Every
Super Bowl weekend.
Yeah, every end of January, beginning of February, they always come to Fresno.
And it's always, like we said, Super Bowl weekend.
But last year we didn't go because we were actually in Disneyland.
The year before that, we went to Disney. We always go somewhere in January or February, we always go.
Right.
So we're like, where do we want to spend our money? In Disney or Disney on Ice? All right, we're going to Disney. This year, we decided to just do both because Remy's getting older. He sees the commercials. He's been pumped for it. And he wanted to go to, Ice Disney? Is that what he calls it?
Yeah, he goes Ice Disney.
I want to go to Ice Disney. So now I just want to do these all the time. I wish they were coming more frequently. But this one I want to say was called Dare to Dream.
Yeah.
And it focused on Beauty and the Beast, Cinderella.
Moana
and Frozen.
Tangled.
And Tangled.
Yeah.
It was five?
Yeah, it was because there was three for the first part.
Oh, they were just very small.
Yeah, so the first part was Beauty. They started with Beauty and the Beast, and then it was Cinderella, and then it was
Tangled.
Because
it was
and
like
the second
cool
part, the second
aerial
one was,
stuff.
That was pretty BA. And the second part was Frozen, which they did a decent amount. And then Moana, they did a lot with Moana.
For both Frozen and Moana, they gave them like the same amount of time, I think.
Yeah.
Because they're like, all right, you three split this half, and then you two split this half.
Because
they're the more new and, I guess, popular right now.
But I'd say even in the first half of it, I'd say Beauty and the Beast and Tangled took up more than Cinderella.
Yes.
Cinderella was like, you would think it was like, you know, 33, 33, 33, you know, type thing, but it was more like 40, 20, 40, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like Cinderella was a very small sliver of what was done.
It was probably like 10 minutes, to be real.
Yeah.
It felt very little. It's cute though, how they break it down and they show you the main plot points of the film and like the big cinematic parts that everybody remembers. Like the godmother comes out.
Which I saw an Adam Tots
comic.
I was just flipping through a bunch of his old ones. And there was one where he's like, Princess, wait, you forgot your... And then he looks at it, it's a
croc.
And he goes, ew.
And he's like, I don't want to know.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
Sorry to anybody who wears crocs out there, but it's hilarious.
Oh, so funny.
Adam Tots, man. Follow him on Instagram if you don't. I'm pretty sure everybody does, but...
Yeah, he's so
just
awesome.
Freaking follow him, man. Yeah.
But yeah. So anyway, so I really liked it. We thought it was going to be a lot colder in there because it'd been a couple of years since we'd been there. So we like bundled up and we got in there. We started like peeling layers off because we're like, I don't know if it's just the body heat that's in here or just we're stupid because we're like, oh, there's ice. It's going to be so cold
in
here.
I think, well, if you're VIP, maybe it's cold.
Well, yeah, if you're that close. But then
they
probably had heated seats down there or something. Those tickets were ridiculous.
Yeah, they were.
Right?
Over $100.
But I had a good time. I thought our seats were really good, especially for us buying them last minute. Uh-huh. Remy seemed to enjoy it. Like, he was dialed in the entire time, so I liked it.
Yeah, that's the fun thing about our arena is this one is the smaller one. We have a bigger arena that holds all the big name concerts. The smaller one is where like the Disney Ice and hockey events go on. So it's a much, much smaller scale. So no matter where you sit, you have good seats. You could be in the very end of the nosebleeds and still good. But yeah, I thought it was great. Rapunzel and Flynn Rider on the aerial ropes was freaking amazing. It just kept getting better and better. They kept going back up on the ropes. And I'm like, oh my God, look, stop. We've already seen people fall on the ice. I don't want to see you fall on the ice from the sky.
Yeah, right. But from an elevated position.
Yes, but it was awesome. And I think
Moana was the best skater.
Yes, she was great.
Yeah, she was fantastic.
And the music from Moana just, we came home and we had to watch Moana because it's so good.
I love that they did Tamatoa.
Yeah!
Like, that was great. And it was like a big number too. Because you figure the last time we went, they had Little Mermaid and Ariel, or Ursula came out. And like that was big thing. It was like, it was a big moving set piece with all the tentacles. So yeah, no, I thought that was awesome. I was very excited to see Moana. I actually thought Frozen, they did really well. And it was funny, when they were finishing up that one, I was like, man, we haven't watched Frozen in a while. We should watch Frozen. And then Moana came out, and I was like, no, I really want to watch Moana. Mm-hmm. So that was definitely the go-to.
Yeah, I'd say these are definitely something you should give it a try if you've never done it before. And even if you have, maybe it's been a while, go see them. They're worth the price. If you don't want to spend a lot of money, if you want to say the cheapest tickets are around 20-ish bucks. So that's not bad for something like, maybe you can't get to Disney anytime soon. Hey, this is a nice little fix if it's in your area, and your kids are going to love it. And even if you don't have kids, I'm sure the kid in you is going to enjoy it so much. Like we said before, Remy, I think every year that it came through town, we made sure we were at Disney on Ice. So we were those people that were like, we're at all the kids movies, we're at Disneyland, we're at the zoo, we're at all these kids places that we don't care if you need a kid. Yeah. We're going to be here anyway.
Pretty much. That's how we roll.
Yeah, because society rules are just dumb. Don't follow them, guys. All right. What else do we do? So we've been playing Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah. So this is our first introduction to the Kingdom Hearts franchise. So Kingdom Hearts 3 just recently came out last week on Tuesday.
Yep.
And, you know, we had seen trailers and gameplay and all that for the previous ones. But this was the first time that I had ever seen... or actually sat down and played a game. So this was our first time doing this one. Mm-hmm. So far I've been really impressed. How about for you?
Oh my gosh, it's gorgeous. The animation is awesome. It looks so, any cutscene looks like you're watching the movies. They look so good. Most of the voice cast from the movies have returned, or they have gotten really great voice actors to portray them that they kind of sound pretty spot on.
Yeah.
What else? The gameplay is fun. It's simple enough. Like it can be hard at times, but it's mostly simple. We chose just the regular standard.
Yeah.
What's that called? Like level, like not beginner, but standard.
Yeah,
and
it was
then
just
there's
standard.
Like the hardest one. I figured we'll beat it this way. And then if we want, we'll go back and we'll do the hardest level next. But yeah, I thought it's pretty cool that you get to kind of choose your destiny, what kind of person you are, and then you go through the first, I think Hercules is the first thing. You go to Olympus, you see Hades, you see Maleficent, Pete. Who else have we seen? From there, then we went over to, I think it's called Titan. That's what the end of it. Twilight Town, I think, is where we are. And there you run into Remy from Ratatouille, and you help him in his restaurant. So it's just kind of like a little side mission that it's a way to get like more potions and magic or something, or like to level up your character, which is pretty cool. We've seen Uncle Scrooge there and Huey, Dewey, and Louie. Now we just finished Toy Story.
Yeah.
And that one was pretty cool.
Yeah, I really liked that one.
Yeah, you got to play this Toy Story.
That's really fun.
So basically you're in a mech or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, what's that movie? Pacific Rim.
Yeah,
so you're
because you do battle the kaiju type things as well, but then you spend a lot of time just fighting other mechs, which is kind of fun as well.
Yeah, because
you can hop from like mech to mech. Like as you defeat a mech, you can actually hop into that one if you want to use. Each mech has a different color, and then those ones have different abilities. So I liked it.
It's pretty cool. And then each one has their own little storyline, obviously, with every characters that you run into. They have a story that they're following, and it also goes along with yours. And then now we're in Kingdom Corona. So we're in the Rapunzel part of it. So and we still have to come across Baymax, Frozen, Winnie the Pooh. And I feel like there's another one that I'm missing. So
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Pirates. Yeah. So there's a lot that we haven't got to. And We haven't beaten it yet, but I think if we actually spend a whole day playing, we probably would.
Yeah, more than likely.
Yeah, but I don't know. I love it. I definitely worth getting it. Even if you've never played any of the Kingdom Hearts, like we said, we've never played them. They've just always looked interesting. We didn't have the consoles to play them, so now right. that we do, why would we not? So, kind of a fave right now.
Right, jump on in. So yeah, no, I'm excited for that one. We also have been catching up on Punisher Season 2, so we are... I think we're on episode 10 at this point, so we've only got three more episodes after this one. It's been getting super intense.
Yes.
There has been more Punisher in the back half of the season than it was in the first half. That would probably be my one complaint, is that it felt like there was a lot of story centered around the young girl,
mm-hmm.
Depending on what she decides her name is going to be. I guess she's Amy at this
Amy,
point.
Amy, yeah.
And a lot on Billy Russo, and then Muldoni.
The agent.
She was a national security agent from the first season. Mm-hmm. So they focused a lot on those characters, and now they've kind of moved more into Frank's story,
mm-hmm.
which obviously, I mean, he's the Punisher. He's the point of the
right.
the namesake of the show. So I've enjoyed the season. I know there was a lot of people that were kind of split down the middle. The people didn't seem like fans and critics were as big a fan of this season as they were the first season,
mm-hmm.
or even his appearance in Daredevil Season 2. But so far, I've really enjoyed this season. I thought that I think it's moved with a good amount of pace. I've been fully invested in the story the entire time,
mm-hmm.
And I'm really excited to see where it goes. How about you?
Yep, I completely agree. I've been invested since the first episode. Like we've said before, a lot of these shows tend to not kick off until like episode 3. Between 3 and 6 is where yeah. people will really get invested in the story. But I think from the first episode, they kind of just pulled me in. But also the Billy Russo story was the interesting part for me in the first season. So already jumping into that was really cool. Finding where this chick Amy is coming from, why it's happening. And I think we're finally going to get a really big answer soon with that. Well, we have to. We have 3 episodes left. So
John Pilgrim as well.
Yeah,
he's been a crazy character.
What the heck, man? So I'm completely blind on this. So I have no idea where it's going to go. I have no knowledge from the comics on who any of these characters could possibly be. So that's what I love about these the Netflix series so far, is that when you don't know, it's like, holy crap, I didn't know that character was going to do that.
Right.
But I'm excited to see where this one's going, and kind of sad because I don't think it's going to be a happy ending.
No.
No, for somebody. I don't know who, but somebody's not getting the happy ending.
Right. Are you going to be sad to see these characters go if this is the last we get a Punisher?
Yes. I need more Bernthal as the Punisher.
Yeah, he is expertly cast. I think, yes. though, you could put him in a movie and just... You wouldn't have to keep doing like Punisher the series. Mm. You could just do a John Bernthal led Punisher film,
mm-hmm.
and just introduce him to the MCU.
That would
just
be so cool if they did
put
that.
Him right in there.
Decide to do a new Punisher film.
Yeah.
Honestly, though,
I feel the same way about Charlie Cox's Matt Murdock.
Yeah.
I think for
just
him
let
as
him
Daredevil,
do a Daredevil movie.
I could see him doing a Daredevil movie.
But really
movie.
At this point it's kinda like they've already touched on like the big villains.
Well, I mean
there's always more villains, but
yeah. I mean, even with those guys, you could always just do a Defenders film and just, or Heroes for Hire. I mean, you could always do films to bring
right.
these characters to the,
who knows?
The cinematic universe.
Disney is talking about staying with the darker side of things, and it maybe just not being under the Disney name. So
right.
We might get lucky and we might still see them in the future.
I would die laughing if you see Punisher versus Deadpool in the future.
Oh, gosh.
It was a comic run. Could definitely be a film run.
Goodness.
And then I guess the last big bit of news, which was a boring bit of news, was the Super Bowl. So, I mean, this is what? Like the most viewed event, and people get so excited for this.
I don't know why.
You have the halftime show, which is always this huge extravaganza. As you guys know, I'm not the biggest of football fans. For you, you're not really that big of a fan either. You're more of like I'll support my dad's team mm-hmm. when they're doing well.
Right.
And obviously the Rams were in the Super Bowl,
yeah,
so why
wouldn't
we want to go support?
It's exciting that the Rams being in Los Angeles again to be in this, Super Bowl. So I was pumped for that. But I can't tell you that I watched any games throughout the season. It's very rare that we watch football. And the Super Bowl really is just a reason to get together to eat food and
right.
hang out.
Right.
Watch the commercials, which sucked this year.
Yeah, they
Gosh, like every commercial sucked.
Yeah, it was not good commercial-wise. People kept telling me that it was defensively a really good game, and I'm like, but you are the same people that say that soccer is boring, and this was a snooze fest.
It makes sense that like these teams would have to be both amazing and well matched.
Right.
If it's such a low scoring game. Like that makes sense because that's how great they both are, is that their defenses were so good that neither of them, you know, let scoring happen. But it also makes for a very boring game when it's football and you stop every 10 seconds for 5 minutes at a time. And then like, okay, let's pick up again, even though the clock stopped a long time ago. Okay, let's go.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. Like, the way the clock works is so nuts to me.
See, and I think that's why I've always enjoyed soccer so much, is because it is, you have 45 minutes, and like, yes, there's quote-unquote stoppage time, right? Usually for the first half, it's like 2 minutes, 3 minutes at the most, and then you have a 15-minute break, and then you do the second 45 minutes, and maybe they'll do 3 to, I think the most I've ever seen was like 10 minutes of extra time at the end of a second half.
Well, let's go with football having stoppage time. How horrible would that be? Oh, that would be like an hour extra of stoppage time on top of the 4 hours you're already watching this game.
And I've talked to people that are football fans that even were like, yeah, that was a boring Super Bowl. So it's like, it's not just us with a biased opinion. I was honestly really looking forward to the fact that we were going to get an Avengers. I thought the reports were saying that it was a trailer.
No, it was always been a TV spot.
And then same thing with Captain Marvel and then Toy Story 4, which I didn't find out till about halfway through the Super Bowl that Toy Story 4 was also going to be a TV spot, but it was going to be after the Super Bowl was over. So you were sitting there being like, did I miss it? And I was like, no, not yet. And then when I looked at it, I'm like, oh, it's not happening until it was already done. And by that point, somebody had already changed the channel or something, and so then we weren't even watching the channel that it was on.
Nobody was excited that the Patriots won again, so everybody was like, turn it off, nobody cares. We don't need to hear Tom Brady talk about how excited... Is that his name?
Yes.
Okay, how excited he is to go to Disney World again.
I'm running out of fingers from my rings.
I'm going to Disney World.
And then, so we ended up watching that TV spot on our phone. And the Avengers one, I caught like the tail end of it. It was not very long.
No.
And then the Captain Marvel one, I was able to watch all of that, but I couldn't hear any of it because everybody was being so loud.
Yes.
So we watched those after the fact. The Captain Marvel one didn't give us a whole lot more versus anything that we've already seen. She does punch all the way through a ship at one point towards the end of it, which was pretty cool. With the Avengers one, that one gave us a little bit more. We did get to see like Tony Stark and Nebula working on a something together, which I thought that was pretty cool. We also see Rocket in what most people have been calling like the quantum suit as he kind of walks through a door. We see Steve sitting down in what looks like probably a support group for like, now that they're gone, what do we do?
It looks like he's at Curtis's support group for vets.
Pretty much. We do see like a lot of ships and whatnot by Liberty Island, so it looks like a lot of refugees probably coming in at one point. An empty Citibank Stadium, which is also like
creepy.
Kind of shows how this
very
has affected.
Ominous.
Yeah, it's affected more than just the superhero culture, right? This has affected all of mankind. What was the other part that was kind of cool? Somebody strapping on the shield, which we would assume is Steve Rogers, which would be cool for him to get the shield back. And then the Avengers kind of walking together. So I'm really excited for this. We'll talk a little bit more about it in the Marvel section. But were these like interesting for you, or was it kind of like, hey, this is more of the same?
They were interesting. They were the best parts of the whole Super Bowl, obviously.
Yeah.
But it wasn't enough to make up for the crap Super Bowl that sat through to get to these things. I missed two of them. No, I missed all three of them.
Yeah.
I had to watch them all on my phone. Right. So
you're like, I could have just done that.
I sat to watch those specifically and missed them all. So
nice.
Was kind of bummed about that because they were either so quick or it was just too loud. And yeah, I think I'm going to not go to a Super Bowl party next year. Even if it is the Rams again, I think we might have to be in Disneyland.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. We'll watch the trailers from the phone.
Yeah, I just think I'm done.
Tapped out.
Calling it quits.
Nice.
All right, let's talk about some news, I think.
Okay, I think that's enough. We'll go ahead and get into the news.
Scanning. Here's what's going on around the galaxy.
All right. Duke Kaboom, guys. Duke Kaboom will be your new favorite Toy Story character.
Oh, John Wick. I gotcha.
I can promise you that. Keanu Reeves is, well, they mentioned back in November that he was going to be part of Toy Story 4, and everybody's like, what? No, this is just rumors. You're crazy.
Right.
They've said it's official. He has said it's official. Josh Cooley went on to say that his character is Duke Kaboom. Basically, we already talked about the whole Bo Peep and how, you know, she's kind of just doing her own adventure with life. She didn't stick back and watch Andy's sister. I don't remember. Did they?
Molly.
Molly. There you go. Molly grow up because she was just collecting dust. Wasn't she like just a statue, or she was a porcelain statue, right?
Yeah.
So I really don't play with those things anyway.
No, not so much.
So her and the sheep, they're gone. As you may notice, we have not seen the sheep in any of the TV spots or trailers.
They're all punk rocked out.
That's what we were hoping. We were talking about some like mohawks on these sheep. They're going to be really cool and edgy. Apparently, they're not around. And part of her mission is to find her sheep. So she goes to Duke Kaboom.
Oh, nice.
To find her sheep. I guess he seeks out like lost toys. So apparently this has something to do with like a John Wick reference, which I've never seen. So tell me how that works.
So John Wick, the first movie anyways, it starts off with basically he's like a retired like bounty hunter, hitman, assassin type thing. And he buys a puppy. And guys come and kill his dog. And so then he goes and kills the bad guys because they killed his dog.
They deserved it.
Yeah, pretty much. And then John Wick 2 is just, I don't even remember what the premise was. I just remember it was a whole lot of killing and fighting, and it was awesome.
Oh.
So I thoroughly enjoyed both films. Mm-hmm. I thought that Keanu Reeves did a fantastic job in both of them. And I'm excited to see how they kind of play off of that character in this movie.
Interesting. So Keanu Reeves' specific quote about his excitement on being called by Pixar. He said, I got a call, which was really cool, out of the blue from the lovely people at Pixar and the creators of this number, this edition, or continuation of the story. I don't know. I assume that's how he talks. They pitched the character to me, and then we spoke, and they allowed me to kind of riff on it.
Nice. So
cool. Little Keanu touch to this character, I assume, is probably going to be John Wick-esque. And Keanu Reeves-esque. He's a very specific type of actor that you know it's him when you see him or hear him. So I'm excited. I'm pumped for this.
No, same here. I think it's probably, it's John Wick-esque, but I think that he'll go like more over the top with it to make it seem very cartoonish.
I'm thinking like more Bill and Ted's style voicing.
Oh God, I hope he doesn't go that far into the weeds.
I think
that's
going to
be too weird.
Touch on that kind of weirdness. Why would he not? He's going to. It's going to happen.
I'm sure they'll do like some sort of reference to it, but I doubt that he'll go into like that.
Not
voice.
That character,
it's
but like
be more
kind of
like,
along the
I think
voicing.
It'll be more like Neo from The Matrix and more John Wick, because it'll be what he is now versus like, whoa.
That
whoa,
would be so
dude,
freaking funny excellent. If it was though.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready to hear that.
I'd be okay with it. Probably a lot of people wouldn't, but I would be okay with that. All right, so let's talk about the Magical Pride Parade. So this, I was so excited to come across last week, and it was Disneyland Paris is putting on their official, the first official LGBTQ event that's hosted by Disney, because we know that there's been gay days that's in Disney World and Disneyland. I want to say the other parks do them as well,
right.
But like Disneyland Paris. But those aren't official events. Those are, you know, hosted by other groups, and Disney allows them to happen. Luckily, Disney goes along and they're like, we're going to do treats that are rainbow, like rainbow cakes, where they finally did rainbow ears last year. That was really big. So now they sell them in the parks all year long now.
Nice.
So they're being very inclusive in the parks, in their movies, shows, everything. You know, that's kind of where they're trying to go towards. Now, Disneyland Paris decided, hey, let's do an official event. So just like Disneyland and Disney World do their extra events like Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, where you have to pay extra to go into a ticketed event on top of your ticket if you're going into the parks earlier that day. If not, this would be a June 1st event that is the Pride Month then, and it will be from 8 p.m. to 2 a.m., and it's the Magical Pride. event. And you would add that onto your ticket if you're going. If not, I think you can get just the ticket. But of course, you would only be able to go in from the 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. mark. You would have limited rides that you can go on to. There's going to be DJs. There's a Magical Pride parade. So there's specific characters that will be out for photo ops, merch, and food options, all directed towards the inclusiveness of love, you know? So I'm pumped that they're doing this. I'm hoping that this will make its way to the States and Disney World and Disneyland will also jump on board, because I just think it's awesome when big companies like Disney are like, hey, we don't care what you believe. This is what we are okay with.
Yep.
And we're going to put it out there because these are our parks. We can do what we want. So you go if you agree. Don't go if you don't agree.
Right, pretty much.
Go, bud. So I'm excited that the Magical Pride Parade will be a thing in Disneyland Paris, like we said, June 1st. And that is a special ticket event. It will sell out. So get your tickets fast, because June will sadly be here so fast. Or scary how fast it will be here. But yeah, so that was that on the Magical Pride Parade. Let's talk about Disney Plus, because
yes,
Bob Iger has been all around the interwebs lately. Because of that, the quarterly call that happens with investors.
Right, right.
And whatnot, has to give them a rundown on, this is what we're doing with your money. And we're taking it all and doing nothing with it. No, actually, he had a lot to say about Disney Plus. We'll talk about it with the Marvel and Star Wars part of that. But for Disney itself, he's talked about how, well, I guess that kind of falls into the Marvel category as well, the whole R-rated stuff and whether that is happening and where it will go. I thought it was interesting that he mentioned these things are happening and we are still excited to do the R stuff, but it won't be under the Disney name. It's all about branding and being smart about what name will that be under, which I'm interested to learn as what name is it going to be under? I get that, like, the Hulu stuff, like, that's where, like, the FX things will go once Fox, all those deals, you know, happen. Because even the FX CEO said, he knows we're not going to we're not going to Disney Plus. We're not made for Disney Plus. So we know we're going to Hulu. It hasn't been official, but that's kind of what rumors have been going around.
Right.
We're going to Hulu. But things like Marvel movies and Marvel shows, if they do the Netflix type shows, where do those go? You know, like, do they put them on Hulu because it's what they own, or do they just put it out under a new brand?
Well, I think that's where it starts to get, you get into the minutia of it, right? Where it gets a little bit more difficult, because you have, you know, your Disney, your Marvel Cinematic Universe. You already know you're getting the Loki show, the Vision and the Scarlet Witch, Bucky and Falcon. You're getting these shows that have already been announced for Disney Plus, right? We already know, and we'll get into this in a little bit with Captain Marvel, where she's going to end up, you know, once her cinematic debut is over. And then, like you said, you have things like Deadpool, you have Legion over there on FX, you have, you know, runaways that are already on Hulu. So it's like, are you going to have disparate sides of Marvel on these two different mm-hmm. streaming services? And, you know, do you still have that connectivity across the realms? Because you know that to some degree, the people that are going to go see, you know, Captain Marvel are probably not all the same people that are going to go see Deadpool. Like, you know, families are not going to go take right. their kids typically to Deadpool. We didn't.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't take Remy, even to the Christmas PG-13, you know, muted down version
right.
of it. So I don't know. I think this is, it's going to be interesting to see how they toe this line.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, I think a character like Deadpool, it's people are more receptive when he's able to kind of flex his profanity muscles
right.
to some degree. Obviously, you see how well received Logan was, because that was their first foray, if you will, into mm-hmm. right. Logan came out before Deadpool.
Yes.
So that was their first foray into the R-rated Marvel movies. So, you know, I mean, I shouldn't say first foray, because we had Punisher movies and we had, you know, Blade and whatnot. But
yeah.
under this new regime of Marvel, this new insurgence of Marvel or resurgence, I should say, of Marvel. So I don't know. I think this is going to be really difficult to see how they play it out. But at the same, by the same token, I have my faith in Kevin Feige. I know that he'll do what makes the most sense, and Bob Iger will support that play.
And make smart decisions for the company. He knows what things should stay family, and that's what Disney Plus will be. He has reiterated several times on this call that Disney Plus will stay family-oriented. You do not have to worry about that. It will be a lot of their back catalog. It will be a lot of family-friendly things, PG-13 and under, the things of that nature. We knew that, and he just wanted to make clear that, yes, that is still where the direction of Disney Plus is going. There's still no specific date, still saying late 2019, fall 2019, so nothing new there. And basically that the investors will get their first look at The Mandalorian, at anything from Marvel that will be happening on April 11th, the Investors Day. Yeah, nice. So I'm sure we'll be getting rumors and leaks starting April 11th for what's happening on Disney Plus. Probably a date. I imagine they're going to give them a release date for Disney Plus and probably a price point as well. Bob Iger said last year that it was going to be substantially less than Netflix, so because they have substantially less, I guess, stuff to put out. But I don't know. They really don't at this point. When bringing Fox over, they can put a ton of things on there if they wanted to.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of tying all those loose ends before this is, you know, being put out. So I think it still will be less money. But now with Netflix going up to what, like $10 is the cheapest for like the very cheap one screen plan.
Yeah, it's like $7.99 or $8.99.
No, that's what it is right now. It's going up like $9.99 or something at the cheapest. It's like to $15 or $16. So Disney will have to be, you know, hopefully somewhere between $5 and $10.
I don't know.
At the low, like $6, I'm assuming, like Hulu prices.
Right.
And then $10 at the high point.
That's maybe what I'm guessing. It's got to fall somewhere within that same realm. So I don't know. I guess we'll just have to wait and see, because that's going to be another one of those. Let's add it to the plan of all the other streaming services and whatnot that we're paying for. Because, I mean, even for us right now, we've got, you know, Sling, and we've got the $5 add-on package to be able to get like Disney Junior and Disney XD. And then we also have, obviously, like we said, we have Netflix and we also have Hulu. So with this, I mean, it just kind of adds up to that point where you're like, yeah, I cut cable, I cut the cord, but to have all these other services are basically taking us to that same price point. So I don't know. I guess it's one of those we'll see when we get there. But to piggyback on that, I guess, since we're already on Disney Plus, we'll just transition into the Marvel news now. So Captain Marvel was also mentioned on this call, as it will be the first MCU film that'll actually land on the service. So Ant-Man and the Wasp is now the last one that'll be on Netflix, which we watched. But we just watched that before recording. So now this will be the changing of the guard, if you will, because you got to figure if Captain Marvel is, Captain Marvel is coming out obviously next month in March. Typically, it's what, 3 months, and then we get it on Blu-ray, and usually it's around that same time that we'll start to see it on the streaming services. A
couple weeks later,
or at least within this a month or so within that time frame. So it'll be interesting that if you figure that probably paints us at June, but we're not going to get this until, like you're saying, probably late fall.
Yeah, I think probably October-ish is what I'm expecting. But I feel like with Ant-Man and the Wasp, what, that came out in July?
Of last year?
Last year? Yeah. August, September, October. So it would have come out in October, November, December, January, and 3 months later, it finally landed on Netflix.
Yeah.
So kind of a...
If it is a six-month stretch.
Yeah, then, same ballpark, I guess. Yeah, it's just because they've been releasing so many of them. Like, we had got Black Panther, and then shortly after, we got Avengers. And then after that, what now was Ant-Man and the Wasp that one?
That was the third one for the year.
Yeah, I just feel like there's been so much new Disney and Marvel content on Netflix. It's really funny that, and kind of sad, that that's the last of it. And like, hey, you ain't going to see it here anymore come end of this year or whatever, because it'll be in Disney Plus now. But that's exciting that it will be exclusive to Disney Plus, because it'll be more incentive for people who are like, hey, I'm not going to buy the film because I already have this subscription. Thank you for putting it here and nowhere else.
Right.
You're not going to find it on HBO. You're not going to find it on Netflix or whatever else. Stars. I don't know. Where do they put their movies? TBS. Isn't that when they used to have a buy-in with.
Yes.
Well, that was for, no, Star Wars did. Star Wars rights, I think, are for TBS, I want to say.
Gotcha.
And that ends soon. So that won't be happening much longer either, because I bet they will be going to Disney Plus.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
Once all those agreements, like, fall, or I guess end, not fall through, they'll end. They come to their long-awaited end.
Yes, as one does in the film industry, as nothing lives forever anymore. But yeah, no, I'm excited for that. I mean, it makes sense that that's where it would end up, but I think the timing seems a little stretched a little bit. But we have heard rumors that from anywhere from September to November that we may see Disney Plus launch. So
let's hope for as early as September then.
Yeah,
but either way, we'll own Captain Marvel when it comes out. So.
I feel September makes the most sense because August is the expo.
Right.
So I feel like they'll do the expo to like build it all up, and then it'll be like a month later, like end of September going into October would be when they launch it.
September is the start of a lot of fall shows.
Right.
So I don't know. I feel like that makes a lot of sense would be September.
To maintain.
They keep saying late 2019. So when it's still fall in late 2019, that could go all the way up to December because winter doesn't start until like middle December.
Right.
Ugh.
This is true. I don't know.
Dang you, Disney.
Right.
We'll find out April 11th, I'm sure.
Well, and speaking of TV and especially what's coming out in the fall, initially Marvel had a female-led ABC superhero drama that they were putting together. It was actually Alan Heinberg, one of the writers for Wonder Woman, was working on it. And the expectation was that this was going to fill kind of that gap that Marvel has in the, I guess you could say, like, just in their franchises. Because think about with DC, right, where you have Supergirl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a female-led superhero show.
Mm-hmm.
Even in Arrow and in Flash, you've had strong female presence in all of those programs. Legends of Tomorrow? Sure. Yes, Legends of Tomorrow, I believe.
Okay.
They've had, you know, a lot of female characters in there as well. And I just think with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., yeah, you have Ming-Na Wen. You've had
Quake.
What's her name?
Daisy.
Chloe Quake. Bennett. Yes, as Daisy Johnson. I was going to say Daisy Ridley. but yeah, I mean, you do have female characters, but not one that is a prominent lead within the program.
Right.
And I think now with this as what they saw as a viable option, it's interesting that the pilot's been put on hold.
Hmm.
They're not moving forward with it at this moment. And I guess part of it is that they're not under any pressure.
Okay.
Because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been renewed for a seventh season.
What?
So I know, right? So I feel like we were just talking about them having a sixth season. It like just recently they announced it.
We didn't talk about it. Bad Us. What
right?
the heck?
But that's the there's been TV spots and whatnot.
That's
and
cool.
Don't watch them if you're not caught up because it does spoil certain things.
Not caught up at all.
But yeah, no, I find this interesting because I would have liked to see what character they would have gone for, like out of the comics, or if maybe they were going to resurrect that Hunter and Mockingbird. Remember initially were going to get their spinoff show that then never came to fruition?
I'm just waiting for Agent Carter to come back.
Same. Well, but that's what I was going to say is
there
that
you
it's
go.
Interesting because we had
female-led Marvel show that was probably the best.
I think out of the TV programs, was probably one of my favorites.
Yep.
And but that's the problem is I just don't think there was the response. So I think that's what they wanted was instead of trying to rush because, like I said, they're not under pressure. Let's continue to redevelop this until we get to the point where we're ready to make an announcement that hey, this is in the works or like hey, this is concrete. This is coming out. This is the release date. So, are there any female characters that you could think of that would make sense
for their own show?
Yeah, because you got to think it's like it can't be like D level character. It has to be kind of a B level because it's not somebody that we would anticipate showing up in the movies, but not somebody that's so unheard of that.
Well, I feel like they would go. I don't know if they would touch on some of the animated characters, like if they would go Miss Marvel or something.
Right. That's honestly, that's
or
what I was
if
thinking.
They go
Scroll
with
Girl.
America or
America Vasquez,
yes,
or. Do you do a spinoff with Jess Quake, you know, with Jess Daisy Johnson? Do you do...
You know what? You just do a dark show about X-23 becoming the all-new Wolverine.
You could, honestly.
Just go a little bit darker.
But I wonder if because the Fox merger hasn't completely gone through, I wonder if that's what killed this. Is that it or at least put it on hold, is that they were like, well, we had planned on using this character, but we don't technically have the rights, so we can't go to pilot until we have the rights.
Well, and they can't even plan at that point, because then they get in trouble. So, I don't know. It probably wasn't an X-23.
Well, I don't know, because they were planning to use Spider-Man in Civil War.
I think,
and they had to wait for the rights and the agreement to go through with Sony.
Right.
And they had the plan, but they kept, the Russo brothers kept telling Marvel, like, oh, we have a plan B case it doesn't work out.
Well, this is because the whole legal aspect of Disney owning Fox, it's different. Like,
it's not an agreement.
Yeah, the legalities are way different. So it's no, this can all fall through if you step one, you know, step ahead.
But you could frame it in this is a superhero, you know what I mean?
Right.
And she has this skill set, but we're not going to release the name or the code name or anything, because at that point it becomes a legal issue.
Yes, that is very true.
So my thought was, as much as I would have loved to see, like, America Vasquez or Miss Marvel, mm-hmm. the Kamala Khan Miss Marvel, or Squirrel Girl, Doreen, right? Doreen Green, isn't that?
I don't Squirrel ever remember name? Her name.
I would love any of those characters to get a solo program. I think that would be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I always cringe a little with the special effects. So you do need a character that you don't require a lot of special effects, where I think America Vasquez makes more sense, because it's easier to do like the super strength power than like stretching or, you know, talking to squirrels and having CGI squirrels whatnot, or trained squirrels.
It'll probably happen.
I mean, we saw how wonderful the squirrels worked in the Willy Wonka, Johnny Depp.
Oh, no.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. I'm interested to see where they go with this. I don't anticipate us hearing anything soon. I feel like this will be something that kind of gets lost in the shuffle. And then when it does pop up, we're like, oh, yeah, I remember talking about that.
And then when you hear that Agent Carter's coming back, be excited that you heard it here first.
Oh, exactly. I would love Agent Carter to come back. That would be fantastic. But unfortunately, I doubt it. So, speaking of the Fox merger, Lauren Shuler Donner, who most of you have heard us reference before as a huge proponent of Channing Tatum to take on the role of Gambit, recently spoke to multiple news outlets about the upcoming merger and kind of how X-Men needed to evolve, which I thought was a really interesting way to go about referencing those characters, because she was always such a huge proponent for those films, you know, and for those characters to be done in the way that they were. So for her, she kind of speaks, I don't want to say gets into the weeds, but she goes pretty far out on the way that she responds to things. I mean, they do ask Collider, I want to say it was, they did ask her, you know, on the movie side of things, is X-Force and Gambit still on the go ahead? And she said that it's all on hold. Mostly because of Dark Phoenix and New Mutants are already in the can, that those ones will still be released. But that for her, she wasn't really front and center after Deadpool. So Deadpool, at that point, she took a step back. So she was still pretty heavily involved for like Logan, but for Deadpool 2, she wasn't really in for it. And for Apocalypse, she wasn't really involved in that one either. She said with Gambit, it's too bad it's taking so long, because she really wanted to see that get made, because it's such a great character. But she's hoping that, with it being in Disney's hands, that they know what they're going to do. For Kevin Feige, you know, she says that how he was her her protege when they started, because he started with her on X-Men, you know, way back in 1999. Is that the Wayback Machine? So she trusts him, and that she knows that he loves these characters and will do everything he can to really make sure that they're fantastic. The one thing I kind of got a little bit hung up on is that she kind of talks about superhero fatigue. And it annoys me a little bit that this keeps coming back, is that there's going to be too many superhero shows. We're going to get burned out on them. And I kind of look at it as like, guys, we've had standalone movies now that are hitting $1 billion marks. Like, Black Panther, Aquaman just hit $1 billion, right?
Following like late 90s films.
Yeah.
And like this isn't just, I mean, the big part of it has started in the last decade or so.
Yeah.
But this has been happening for many decades now, that there's been superhero films. They're just finally cool.
Yeah. Well, they're cool, and like, they're big budget. They're a lot of fun.
Right.
The general public enjoys these
characters.
They
realize they can tell a good story. Like, it doesn't have to be all corny.
Yeah.
Where they can give you a story that is going to get you emotionally invested. like any other drama film would.
Well, and you think about for Marvel's entries in 2017, right? We had Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Spider-Man Homecoming, and Thor Ragnarok, all of which cleared $800,000.
Yeah, like, pretty nuts.
That's three different movies from one studio. That's regardless of any of the other films that had come out that year. And then you look at, you know, what they did in 2018 with Black Panther clearing $1 billion, with Avengers clearing $2 billion. And then, you know, Ant-Man and the Wasp was more modest. I think that one did like $500,000 or $600,000. I think it was high sixes, actually. So, I mean, you look at these films where, like, they are still a viable option. People are still going to the movies and wanting to watch these things. I feel that Dark Phoenix is probably going to be a little bit of a letdown to be fair, and it's not just from all of the test screenings that they've had to do, and it looks like they've had to do a lot of reshoots for this, which is extremely difficult because of the high-profile actors that you have that you're trying to pull them back in to be able to do these. I just think that they've lost their way a little bit with these characters. I think they had a really good start-off point with First Class, and then we got to Days of Future Past, which I thought was still a really solid entry.
Right.
But I think I still liked First Class a little bit better just because it had more of a lighthearted feel, and then I think they started to shoehorn too many things in for Days of Future Past, and then by the time we got to Apocalypse, it was... I remember walking into the theater thinking it was a lot of fun, but I have had no inclination to go back and watch it again, which is kind of a bummer.
Right.
And then for this one, I feel like it feels like much of the same as what we got with Apocalypse. I'm sure we'll like it in the theater, but I doubt that when it comes out...
We're rushing to get it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So for you, with her saying these things, that she has faith in Kevin Feige, she has faith that the studio will do right, that she does feel like they do need to start from scratch and take these stories in a new direction. So it's, you know, we have years of stories that haven't been touched.
Mm-hmm.
She was kind of hinting that she'd like to see them don't rehash what's already been done, like do new things, new characters, which Kevin Feige's also talked about that there's a huge cast list that you can pull from for the X-Men, and he anticipates utilizing characters that we haven't seen done ad nauseum on screen. So for you, how do you kind of react to this?
I understand where she's getting with this superhero fatigue. Like, that is obviously a thing that I'm sure is happening for some people, because we've talked to people who are like, yeah, well, they're not as big of fans as this, of the superhero film, so it makes sense that they're kind of already over it. But for the people that love these films and are very much invested in these stories that they're telling, I'm not ready for them to be done anytime soon. I'm okay with them continuing to give us movie after movie after movie, which in this last decade, I mean, as the years have gone by, we have gotten more movies each year from, you know, Marvel Studios itself. But I'm sure she's taking into consideration, well, now they'll have Fox, you know, properties. So we got to talk about X-Men films and Fantastic Four films. And then you look at competition, and there's still DC films that are being made. There are still other superhero films out there. But here's the thing with superhero fatigue. You don't have to have it if you don't like the competition. You don't watch it.
Yeah.
We don't go and watch the DC films. We watch it if they're put right in front of us. You know, like, hey, we're watching this. Okay, sure, we'll give it a shot. But we don't go out and pay to watch them because we don't want to.
Yeah.
It's the same as, you know, the Star Wars films. Obviously, Star Wars fans felt Star Wars fatigue.
Yeah, so they're like,
hey, we're not going to go see Solo because we don't think it's a movie that they need to make. So we're going to show them that we don't want it.
Or sometimes it's not even that. It might just be like, it doesn't look interesting enough for me to pay money to see it in a theater to see it.
And that's to go for DC films. Like, it's not enough to pay money to see it, but we'll see it when it's on TV.
Well, it was like Ready Player One, right? That's not a superhero film, but it looked good, just not good enough that we were going to pay money to
personal,
go see it.
Personal choices. Everybody likes what they like.
And sometimes you just forget about it. Like, Greatest Showman, I remember seeing trailers for it.
And we were so
like,
bummed
it looks super good. We should go see this. And then just...
It got away.
Didn't get a chance to. Was it during December? It's a busy cinematic month, and we didn't get a chance to see it in theater.
Right.
Kicking ourselves now. Ready Player One, in retrospect, I would have loved to have seen that on the big screen because it looks like it was massively impressive.
Yes.
That Alita Battle Angel, like, it looks like it could be good and it could be terrible, but I bet you seeing it on the big screen, probably in IMAX,
looks
if anything,
good.
Is probably going to be super impressive, even if the story does fall apart.
So right.
I think there's a lot of opportunity with these films, and, well, you know, but I do think that there I don't think it's superhero fatigue. It's I think it's cinema fatigue.
Yeah, it's not there yet, I think, for what Marvel has been putting out yet.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to say. With Star Wars, I'm so sad that it happened, but it did. It happened, right. And I think everybody felt kind of overloaded with Star Wars. And even though we still want more Star Wars, we're okay with having gaps in between because that's what we were used to.
Right.
Whereas with these MCU films, we are getting so used to this, hey, we're going to give you 3 films a year that continue this big storyline, and not once has it shown that, you know, people have fallen off and we're not interested anymore. We're not there yet. It'll happen. It will happen one day, but I don't think it's happening anytime soon.
You know how I think it will happen, though, is when they do fear this realm of superhero fatigue, and they start dialing it back, and we start getting only one movie a year.
Exactly.
And then at that point,
you lose interest.
It won't. Yeah, exactly. It won't be that we're fatigued.
People forget.
Yeah, it's that there's too much of a gap between movies. Whereas for Star Wars, because the precedent was set that you're going to wait 3 years between films.
It's always been that way.
That's what killed it. Whereas for superhero films, it was always like, you're going to randomly get this. You might get an X-Men film every 2 or 3 years. You might get a Spider-Man film every 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. Like, and then there's going to be a 10-year gap where you get nothing, mm-hmm. you know? And so I think we are at that point where we're so used to these films coming out multiple times a year. And it's not like, we get 3 Avengers films a year. It's like, we get one Avengers film every 3 years. We mm-hmm. get a Spider-Man, it looks like, every 2 years, right? Because it's 2017 and now we're going to get one in 2019. So,
because people still choose what they want to see.
Yeah.
Not everybody knows Black Panther. Not everybody knows Ant-Man. Yeah. So they don't go see those movies. Yeah. But obviously there's still a big chunk of people that do when you see the numbers. So I don't think it's here yet. I'm not looking forward to the day that it's here. But it's going to happen. Like with any, era of film, it comes and it goes. But right now, I think we're still in the mix of it. It's still exciting. We want to know how it ends with Endgame. And then we want to know how they pick it up after that.
Yeah. Where do we go from here?
Yeah.
Which, let's be honest. I mean, they've done enough work on these characters that this may be the end, right? Like, once Endgame is done, people may lose interest because they go, that was the storyline. Mm-hmm. Like, that was the 10 years of storytelling.
It's good solid 10 years.
Yeah, 11 years now at this point.
Yeah.
But 11 years of storytelling and, like, we're good. We got what we needed. And then the other movies that come out will be sporadic and
we'll decide.
We'll still see them, and I'm sure other people will as well, but I'm sure
time
regardless of what these future movies hold, like Endgame will be the end of an era.
I'm kind of sad about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, how can you not be sad about it? I mean, it's Tony Stark and Captain America.
Yeah,
Rogers, the
OGs.
Yeah, the OGs. Perfect. So I guess that's it for Marvel. Let's get into some Star Wars.
Star Wars news. All right. So, of course, we keep talking about that, investors call that happened with Bob Iger. He had to touch on the Star Wars game. There's been a lot of talk about with EA having the Star Wars, publishing rights publishing rights for the games. They get to put out the Star Wars content. And this has been happening since, 2013? I want to say, 2013. So there you go. But since then, we have only gotten, 2 games? We have gotten Battlefront and Battlefront 2. And that's it. Because they have scrapped, 2 other games in between.
Yep.
And people have been kind of upset about that. But
because we were promised all of these games. They were like, look, we have the Star Wars franchise.
Yeah.
Like, we have this property. Like, we're going to do so much with this. And then it was like, here's Battlefront to, mixed reviews. Here's Battlefront 2 where we fix everything from the first one to mixed reviews.
Yeah, I think the first one was received a little bit better. And then the second one, people were kind of like, really? Okay, come on, Disney. Figure it out. Let's take it away. But they have a contract through 2023 with EA. So it's not happening anytime soon. Obviously, we just got to hope for more games coming out, which we will talk about in just a second. But with the call, they asked Bob about games. Like, will Disney be putting out more games? Because the Disney Interactive, which was what put out a lot of the old Disney games, that was, I want to say, defunct 2 years ago, maybe 3 years now.
Yeah.
I think it was like 2016 or something that was done with, right, like pretty much with the Disney Infinity. Like that was
it. They're just like, all right, we've had enough.
We're done. We're not doing games anymore. We are going to just give the publishing rights to other companies like they did with EA. So what Bob Iger just said was, you know what? We know what we're good at, and we know we're not good at publishing these games. We are good at licensing these games. So they're going to continue to do that. There's kind of no talk on them putting out any new games under Disney themselves. So Star Wars will continue to stay with EA, obviously, through 2023. And after that, I mean, unless, you know, in these next couple years, they get a really cool team put together and get their own Disney games, you know, put, I don't know, bring it back up. Somehow, I don't see that happening. It seems like Disney will continue to give these rights to other companies, which there's not much wrong with that, because there are a lot of video game companies out there who obviously know what they're doing, because right, that is what they focus in. Where Disney is kind of everywhere, why not, you know, give it to a company that specializes in making a video game? It makes sense.
Well, and something that you and I were talking about when we were playing Kingdom Hearts is that, like, they've already announced that this video game would kind of end the saga, like this Sora saga,
oh, right,
if you will.
The Dark Saga or,
yeah,
something?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't remember what it was called. Yeah, Dark Kingdom? I don't know.
Dark Seeker. The Dark Seeker saga.
Okay.
And that they would continue on, but it would be kind of like a new story. And you and I kind of surmised what would be really cool is for them to bring back Disney Infinity, but to do it under the Kingdom Hearts umbrella. So you would call it Kingdom Hearts Infinity,
mm-hmm,
and then you could have like Sora and Riku and, you know, the other characters, mm-hmm, but you release their figures. And then,
yeah,
same thing, like you could play the same style of game, but instead of always having Donald and Goofy, it's whatever two characters that you put on your Disney Infinity base, or you have a new base that comes out specifically for this game.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that would be kind of dope. It's like you already have a bunch of people like us that have invested a lot of time and money into the Disney Infinity characters. You have these characters that are already released that you could easily re-release, and then you have these other new characters that people could utilize as well. To, you know, you could be, oh, I want to have Sora be my character, or I want to have Riku be my character, or whoever. You could introduce new characters that people could buy, and that,
right,
would be like your main character, and then you get to pick your two sidekicks. I think that'd be really cool, and I think it would be a way to reintroduce Disney Infinity and do it in a way that it is more open world. It is more open concept that you can visit different worlds like we're doing right now in Kingdom Hearts and introduce those characters. And I think Star Wars could take a page out of that, in that they look at how do we take what's already been released and how do we expand upon that.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of always my complaint with Battlefront, is they tried to release it as though the other Battlefronts had never existed. I'm like, we already had a Battlefront 1 and 2, and they were both fantastic games. And you took the general idea of what that game was, and then you were like, we're going to give you better graphics because it's on a, you know, more updated playing or console system. But I still think that we're lacking,
mm-hmm,
when you have an intellectual property that is so expansive. You have so many different worlds you can draw from, characters that you can draw from, new storylines that you can pursue. But I feel like they're afraid,
mm-hmm,
to do that because they're like, well, everything's got to be intertwined. Everything has to, mm-hmm, fit together. And it's like, look, I don't need Kylo Ren and Rey in a video game. Like, you can give me new
characters right,
that have nothing to do with those characters. One of the things I loved about The Force Unleashed is you're like, here's an apprentice that we're going to introduce that still has these random interactions with these other characters. And even in it, you still had storylines that were contrary to what we saw in the actual movies itself. And I'm fine with that. Like, you can play this game and understand that it's different than the movies.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like they're just, I don't know if they lack the creativity or like what the deal is, but I'm kind of bummed. I really thought we were going to have this new explosion of Star Wars based games, and it just hasn't happened.
Yep. And with them, you know, like we mentioned, I think on the last episode or the episode before that, EA scrapping their open world game for Star,
yeah,
Wars. Like, God, that was brilliant. That was what we wanted. Do what we want, you know, in the galaxy, but we're not doing that anytime soon. Hopefully they'll realize, you know, the uproar. They have a few more years with this contract. They can bring it into fruition. Like, do it. Just, they have the gist. Now let's get a team put together and let them do it.
You know who they should give that open world concept to? Give it to Insomniac, the one that did the Spider-Man game.
Oh yeah,
because the game mechanics, the visuals, the storyline,
right?
All of it was fantastic.
But that's a whole different company, so
I know. But still,
that would have to be after 2023 and see where the publishing rights go after that. But you can look forward to Jedi Fallen Order coming out this year. EA has officially announced that it will be this fall. They're not going to continue to push back the dates like they've been. This fall you can expect Jedi Fallen Order, which that one obviously is third person single player action game that is going to be considered canon in the Star Wars universe. So
nice, we'll see.
Interesting. Cool. So let's move it along to Anthony Daniels himself
with his cryptic creepy tweets.
they were kind of creepy because when I read them, I didn't even immediately think like, oh, we're probably gonna get a trailer from this. I thought he was talking about like, holy moly, what is this guy on? Is he like talking about like a meteor is coming down from space, is like something gonna go down, like what is happening in the world right now? And then I was like, oh, he's probably hinting at the fact that there's probably gonna be a trailer drop soon, or probably not a trailer drop, a name drop sometime soon.
Yeah, because he had the one from like 2 days ago that was how strange, I'm receiving images of something amazing coming towards us, traveling over decades through space and time, reaching out to all humans on this planet with its message. What could it be? Should I be afraid? Should you? Stay tuned.
Aliens are coming. Like, that's where my brain was going. You see how big.
I'm like, has he been hanging out with Tom DeLonge for like too long? Like, what's going
on? Anyway, and then his most recent one was, everyone except one is looking the wrong way, but it's getting closer. Amazing. Doesn't seem to be the right shape for a movie title or trailer. Can't see an X or anything. Oh, the signal's faded. I'm sure it'll return. What can it be? Stay tuned. I will.
And that was 8 hours ago. 7 hours from right now, he said, I have to rest before I fall apart. But wait. I'm receiving a message from TRAVO. Signal fading. Come back. The one who got it?
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm so lost.
Yeah, he's such a...
What is... He is being the most sleuthy, I guess? I don't even know. Like, Mark Hamill trolls the crap out of us, but I think Anthony Daniels is, like, one-upping him right now because I have no idea what he's talking about. And I think that's the point.
I think it's the TRAV. I think it's just going to be Star Wars Episode 9 Trav. They're going to introduce a new character named Travis.
Travis?
He just goes by Trav. It'll be good.
I really don't know where this is going. And if this is some sort of announcement that he's coming to Celebration Chicago, we figured. We assumed you were going to be there, Anthony Daniels.
Traveling to Chicago.
The name will be at Celebration Chicago. No, the trailer better be at Celebration Chicago. You can give me the name anytime soon. No, it'll happen, guys. The movie's happening in December. You know what I honestly think is happening? I don't think they have a title.
No.
Nope.
Well, that's going to ruin the next bit of news we were going to talk about.
I think JJ is...
stalling?
Yep. Because he doesn't know what the heck he's doing. And that's why these rumors keep going around. And I think he's the one that's putting these rumors out there because he's like, we'll see what people think of this one. Maybe it will be the title. Yeah, he's trolling us too.
Probably.
Thanks, JJ.
I still like, was it Mark Hamill that had said the third one's going to be Takes a Nap?
Oh, yeah.
Force Awakens, the Last Jedi to Take a Nap.
Awesome. Yeah, well, I'm sure if it's anything like Solo, I think a lot of Star Wars fans will be taking a nap and they will not show up.
Yeah. Well, that's okay with me because then at that point we can just walk into the theater like we did for Solo.
How amazing would that be if we don't have to wait hours in line and we just get to go in? Fantastic. No, some of the fun is being with those awesome Star Wars fans in line. But this one I'm kind of worried about. I don't know if I want to wait in line with these Star Wars fans. I don't want to hear what they had to say about The Last Jedi. I don't want to know how angry they are and bitter. And like, I'm just here because I need to see how it ends.
We're gonna have to try to book the crying room at my theater so we can sit by ourselves.
They're like, your child. Hey, don't you judge my child.
Hey, he cries. All right. What do you want from me?
Yeah, no. We do what we want. I don't know, but let's talk about this.
The title.
Title that I think JJ is rumoring because he really doesn't have the actual title. it is, what is it? I can't even remember it. like balance of the force.
Balance of the force.
Yeah, I want to say that's what's going around right now is balance of the force. So this comes from Reddit, which, come on now, you can choose
it's
to.
Reddit.
Yeah, it's Reddit. That's said enough. But, and I don't know how credible this Reddit user actually is, but it's going around and people are running with it because I think people are actually excited for it. I think it sounds like closure. Because when we think about the original trilogy and the whole, you know, somebody was supposed to bring balance to the Force, and then we finally get to the prequels, and then they sit there and say that it was Anakin the whole time that was supposed to bring balance to the Force. But did he kind of just leave it in darkness? Kind of. So in a sense, he balanced it, but more tipping over to the dark side.
Right.
So maybe we finally balance out the Force with this trilogy. Who knows? After all of this craziness that has happened following Last Jedi events, what if it is Balance of the Force? What do you think? Is that a viable name?
I mean, it would make sense because it's, you know, the Force Awakens, you know, the Last Jedi, and then Balance of the Force. Like, to me, it sounds like a book title.
It does,
you know,
sound
what I mean?
Like a book title.
It doesn't sound so much like a movie title, which makes me feel like that's probably not the case. But I also didn't think The Last Jedi was a great title for episode 8 either. I kind of felt like that one was more apt for the last film. Like, it should have been The Force Awakens, and then it could have been Balance of the Force or something along those lines, and then this ninth one should have been The Last Jedi, you know, or The Last of the Jedi. I actually would have liked it to be Revenge of the Jedi, where you kind of have that throwback to what Return of the Jedi was originally
supposed
to be.
But they already
kind of did that with Revenge of the Sith
for
episode 3. So, I don't know. I would have liked some sort of tie to Jedi, but at the same time, since we got that,
we already
eight,
got The Last
then,
Jedi
with this one, but then we've also got a Force reference in episode 7, so it's like, do you really want to have the redundancy of referencing the Force in this one? I mean, honestly, I kind of thought it was fairly open in terms of what we could have gotten for the title. If it ends up being episode 9, Balance of the Force, I'm okay with that, but
right.
I feel like they've already gone with the something something. I feel like they'll probably go with another the something something.
Yeah,
like
the balance of the Force.
Yeah, or the Force balanced, or the Force
That's
balances,
weird.
Or the Force retreats, or the Force entry. I don't know.
I don't.
The Force title.
Oh, yeah, there you go, the Force title. I don't know. Balance of the Force, I think, because it does sound kind of closure-y and it's the whole, it's kind of important that's kind of been the big, Balance of the Force has been the big, I don't know, storyline this whole time, and we're getting, you know, the end of the Skywalker saga. It kind of fits. I think it would work. It doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
But I think it works. It's kind of where Avengers Endgame, to me, that still doesn't sound right.
Right, yeah. No,
not till we see the film, but it just doesn't feel right. Where with Balance of the Force kind of fits a little bit more with kind of the way these movies are going. And we kind of need this to be closure. Don't be a... Just kidding. It's a cliffhanger.
Right.
We're kind of just setting it up for another trilogy. No, end it. Give me closure on everybody's story.
Yeah.
Or most, at least. All the main plot points, I need closure. Thank you. Balance of the Force does that for me.
Right. No, I mean, if it ends up being the title, I'm not going to be mad.
Yeah,
I'll
I would
be like,
been mad.
Okay, no, we heard that that's what it could be, so maybe that's what it is. But to me, it's kind of like the Dark World for Thor, where I was just like, I didn't really make any sense.
Yeah.
Like, even after watching the movie, I was like, so... Were the dark elves from the dark world, or was Earth becoming the dark world, or is the ether from the dark world, or
who knows?
Where Loki, quote unquote, dies, is that the dark world?
I don't think it's going to be it. I think Star Wars, Lucasfilm, JJ, I think they're all way too good at keeping secrets.
Yeah.
So I don't think anything has been leaked that is true. So.
Well, I don't know, because Endgame was floated around as a possible title, like, not long after Infinity War had come out.
Well, that's why the Russos had to keep lying about things.
But that's what I think it was, is they even came out and were like, oh, yeah, no, the title of the next film is not a line of dialogue from this one. And they're like, oh, no, it actually is exactly a line of dialogue from that one. And I guess somebody else had put a video together that it was like, it showed that they had used the term Endgame in previous Avengers movies as well. So you're like, oh, well, they probably had an idea that that was something that they were going to pull from anyways. I think with this one, I don't think Star Wars kind of goes the same route. I don't know. Balance of the Force works. It can't be any worse than Attack of the Clones. And not and I don't mean that as in that's not high on my list of Star Wars films. I always felt that that was a stupid title.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is literally like the very end of the movie where the clones actually show up. Mm-hmm. And it's like they're not really like attacking. They're more like defending, you know, at that point. So it's just... To me, it just felt like an odd title. And I get that George Lucas, I think he wanted a throwback to like B-movie type films. Like Attack of the 80-Foot Woman or whatever. But it still, I always felt like that title felt misplaced.
Hmm.
So who knows? Maybe this one will... Maybe Last Jedi was the misplaced one this summer. And this one will feel completely natural.
Who knows? I don't think we know. I don't think it's going to be Balance of the Force. Just because, like I said, I think they're good about keeping things under wraps until they want them to be revealed. Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it turns out. So what do you guys think? Do you think that Balance of the Force is a good title? Do you think it's a bizarre title?
Do you
think
you
it's
like it?
Not even the title? Or do you think you're gung-ho and this is you're ready to get this tattooed on your... On your
you're ready to get Star Jar Wars Jar on your back.
Yeah, exactly. You're going all in on this one. So I don't know. Let us know. You can talk to us about that or any of the other topics that we covered on this episode. And I think that's it for the news. So we'll take a quick break and we'll circle right around back with some shout-outs.
Shout-outs.
Fan flag fly engaged.
All right. So our question of the week was about Toy Story 4 because huge news with Bo Peep recently.
Right. Of course.
All right. So the question was, Pixar recently released a Toy Story 4 teaser with Bo Peep. So we know she plays a big role in the plot of this film. What if Woody has to choose between staying with his best buddy Buzz and his pals back in Bonnie's room or find new adventures with his love Bo Peep? Which do you choose? All right. Let's hear what you guys had to say. So, let's see. Punkohead said, I feel like Woody has a strong belief in being there for the child, but he was almost swayed to change in Toy Story 2. And from the first promo poster of him, it looked like he was saying farewell. So I'm, oh, that's true. So I'm kind of hoping he does go with Bo to venture elsewhere.
Ah.
I didn't even think about that. It does look like a very serious poster of Woody now that he's mentioned that.
Right.
He's like tipping his hat. He looks kind of ominous and a little bit more of what's going on in that brain of yours, Woody.
You think it's more about Lady Player?
Yeah, maybe he's hanging up the hat for once and is going to go on an adventure. Oh, my goodness. All right. Oh, Animation Station Podcast said, the real question is, where is Buzz looking in this pic? And then I have to read this answer. This is why it's so funny. Darth Omega said, looking at the snake in his boots. That was a good one. Anywho, yeah, you guys have to know the picture. So go back and look on the post if you want to know why that's funny. Anywho, Princess Pinkovia says Bo Peep is literally wearing her undergarments as normal clothing and I love it. Okay, that had nothing to do with an answer, but
that's how she rolls.
I dig it too. Darth Omega answered and said, I think he should go on the adventure. Buzz and Jesse are together and Woody should be with Bo. I like that. I'll give you my answer after, but I don't know. It's kind of tough. Anywho, D-Geekster said, this is not an answer to the question, but is Bo Peep wearing her skirt as a cape in the poster that was released for the film? I did have to go back and look. I'm pretty sure she is.
Nice.
I think her cape is her skirt because you can kind of see dots, like polka dots, on the underside of the cape.
Oh,
so
nice.
I think she has her skirt flipped inside out, and it's as a cape.
But,
yeah.
But then even at that point, it's like, wasn't it all ceramic? Like, how does that even work?
It's a movie. She does what she wants.
Right? Oh, my goodness.
All right. And then to answer the question, he said, I think the main conflict of the film is going to be that Woody wants to be with Bo, but Bo wants her... wants her to stay a toy with him. And Bo has seen the world and cannot go back to that life. In the end, I think Woody will have to stick to the old adage of, if you love something, let it go, since his job and possibly love... love number one is to keep his kid happy. All right. So you see him sticking with the kids. I like that little backstory though. Makes sense. And then Sarah and Matt 15 said Bo Peep. So they see them go or him going off with Bo Peep. Where do you see it going?
I mean, I don't know. It sort of depends on if this does end up being like the send off. In which case, like, yeah, they would have to. But at the same time, to me, that would almost feel like a betrayal of the Woody character. Like, yes. He has always been about the kid.
Yes.
You know, like, whether it was, you know, like, Toy Story 1, where he's all about, like, he wants to be Andy's favorite toy and coming to grips with the fact that, like, look, new toys are going to come in. And even though you may not be, like, the one he plays with the most, like, he's playing with, like, you are still... you know, you're his toy.
You're his toy,
you know, and that
yeah.
should be good enough for you. And then in the second film where he's like, oh, but I could be this famous character and it could mm-hmm. be in this display case. But he's like, no, at the end of the day, like, I'm a toy. I'm supposed to be played with. I'm supposed to be with my kid. And then with Toy Story 3, convincing the other toys, like, no, we got to stay with our kid. Like, mm-hmm. whether he grows up and we get stuffed in the attic till he has kids, like, that's all right. that matters. And then ending up with Bonnie and wanting to be Bonnie's toy. I can see him being swayed by Bo mm-hmm. as part of the story. But ultimately, I think it will be him circling back and being like, and convincing Bo as well to be like, hey, look, you've had your big adventure. This is great. But mm-hmm. like, we're toys. We're supposed to be here for the kid. Like, that's right. what it's going to be. So I can see that being the main conflict.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I would like to see Woody go on an adventure with Bo Peep and then realize, no, I've got to be a toy with I've got to mm-hmm. be with my kid. And my kid now is Bonnie. And convincing Bo Peep to go. And maybe Bo does. Maybe there is enough of a spark between the two of them. Or maybe she says, no, I've enjoyed being my own person mm-hmm. and continuing to go on with her own adventures.
So right.
Who knows? Or maybe her telling Woody, like, no, I have more adventures I want to go on. But when I'm done, I'll come back, you know?
Maybe. I don't know. Girl's got to do what a girl's got to do.
So what do you think?
The lover in me, you know, not the fighter part, but the lover in me would say that he's got to go with Bo.
Boring.
He's got to, you know, feel that his heart's desire. I mean, do toys have hearts? I guess they do. But honestly, I see him staying with Bonnie. Yeah. I don't think it is in his character to not want to be with his kid. And Bonnie still being of an age that she is playing with the kids and, you know, she is young. It would be really messed up of Woody to be like, you know what? She's not Andy, so I'm not going to stick around. I don't see that being part of Woody's character, but I do piggyback on everything you say where he is going to go on an adventure with Bo and he is going to get this taste for like a fun, adventurous life with her and miss her and realize he does want her there. And I'm sure he'll be trying to convince her the whole time to come back with him.
Yeah.
But if it's going to be a happy ending, which they usually are, even though they're kind of sad, but they are happy endings, then Bo will go along with him. But if it's going to be a real ending, I think she's going to continue on her own adventures. And I think Woody will stick with Bonnie. I don't think he's going to leave her.
Right.
Yeah. It's not Woody to do that.
Well, it would be a very different spin on the character that they've already spent 3 movies establishing.
Yes.
So it'd be odd for them. I mean, especially with the whole Sunnyside thing, but where all the other toys were like, oh, look at it. We could be here and play with new kids all the time.
Yeah.
And he was the one person that was like,
yeah,
no, we got to go back home. Like,
right.
This isn't it for us.
It will be exciting for him to find Bo, though. He is going to have all the love come back, yeah. and it's going to be a hard choice. Definitely. But I think he will always choose the kid in the end. Over his own emotion. But I think it's going to fall along the lines of them just going on this adventure of finding her sheep and he's along for the ride and they meet Duke Boom and they fall, you know, find more fun characters and toys along the way. And who knows, maybe there's a new villain out there. We don't know. It's kind of been that way where every film has had a villain.
Right.
Is there going to be a villain in this movie? Does Toy Story need a villain to make the story go along? So far, it's kind of been that way. But I don't know. Who knows? It's anything can happen. Is Duke Kaboom the villain?
yeah.
Keanu Reeves, don't be a villain. No. You can't do that to me.
I mean, he can.
Don't.
And he will.
It's not to the toys, man. Not to the gang. but anywho, yeah, I have to stick with you. I think it's Woody's going to stick with Bonnie
yes,
and Buzz.
Too. I guess we'll see.
But thanks, guys, for answering that. It was fun to hear your guys' replies. We're going to try to be consistent with giving you some questions for the week, and then we'd love to hear what you guys have to say, and then it's fun to put them out on the shout-outs portion.
Shout-outs.
So thanks for participating in those.
Of course. And continue to participate in our, I guess we could call it the Countdown to March Madness.
Yeah.
So we'll continue to post those, and it'll always be an Instagram. Part of me, Instagram stories, so make sure that you're following us at HYLT Radio, Hilt Radio,
on
Instagram.
If you want to see the results for all of the previous matchups, you can go to our Instagram page, and in our highlights, it'll be March Madness. So you just click on that one, and it'll have every winner for, well, every matchup, and then you'll get to see the votes and what the percentage was for each one. Some of them are kind of surprising. Most of them, I think we assumed they were going that way, but it is kind of crazy to see some of them were just, what? Anywho, I'm glad you guys are participating. Go check that out if you want to see and, you know, play along with March Madness.
We love it. And I know for those math geniuses out there are probably thinking, but Liam, you said there were 58 movies. How are you going to get that down to a top eight? Like, don't worry. We have a game plan in place. And I will talk about that. I'll probably put a post out on Hilt Radio. Or I may mention it here on the show, but we have a game plan that we think
once
makes
we get
the
closer
sense,
to March,
once we get down to that, the Elite Eight for
Disney,
just for the Disney one. So we'll have eight movies from each of the, four franchises between Disney, Star Wars, Marvel, and Pixar.
Yes. To do that, though, you have to keep participating, and it helps with the more votes. So if you are really invested in this, keep voting, because that helps with that special, I guess, film that gets to go along, or that makes it, I don't know, even at one point. So
yeah,
keep voting, guys, because go with the most votes wins.
Yeah, there we go. Perfect. So we appreciate everybody jumping on another episode here of Hilt Radio. BMO, where can they find you in the interwebs?
I'm at Citizen of Disney.
Perfect. And you can find me at Liam Bright. As always, you can follow the show at Hilt Radio, HYLT Radio on Twitter and Instagram, or visit our website, hiltradio.com. So this concludes another episode. We, as always, appreciate your time and your patience and your interactions with us, and look forward to having many more adventures with you yet to come. But as always, until then,
try to make the world a better place.
Need even more Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars in your life? Be sure to visit our website at HiltRadio.com for more magic like our blogs, videos, merch, and access to our archive of episodes. That's HYLTRadio.com. See you real soon.